Good morning, everyone. Would you all stand? We're going to sing Down at the Cross, 227. The scripture says, God forbid that I should glory except in the cross. Galatians 6:14. Down at the cross. Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was a blood applied. Glory to His name, glory to His name, glory to His name, there to my heart was a blood. Glory to His name. I am so wondrously saved from sin. Jesus so sweetly abides within. There at the cross where He took me in. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Fountain that saves from sin. I am so glad I have entered in. There Jesus saves me and keeps me clean. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was a blood applied. Glory. Come to this fountain so swift and sweet. Cast your poor soul at the Savior's feet. Plunge in today and be made complete. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was a blood applied. Glory to His name. Amen.
Let's remain standing as we go to prayer. And as we pray today, let's remember Brother Lancaster. He is in the hospital. His wife says it's not too serious, so we'll take her view of it. Amen. And tomorrow, Sue Davis will be having her operation and be in prayer for her tomorrow. This is a remedial operation that she'll be having. And we just pray that the Lord will be with her. She called me yesterday. She has been to the doctor. They have her ready for surgery, you might say. They don't want her to be around any of us. We might have germs, you know. And that would have to forestall her operation. But pray for Sue tomorrow and for Mark, okay? And we had a wonderful turnout yesterday for Leonard's memorial service. Some of you were here, and we enjoyed meeting Mary's family. We're glad that she's here today with us in our service. So remember these as we go to prayer. And Brother Sam Burton, would you lead us, please, as we pray?
Lord, in her
Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. And if you looked at your bulletin, you saw that little Miles is still in there. Miles is our little 2.5-year-old great-grandson that lives over in Phoenix area, and he's the one with cancer over there that we are praying for. And I'll tell you, God's email box is full. There are people from all over this country and in other countries as well that are praying for him. And if God doesn't heal him of that cancer, he's missing a good opportunity for some glory, I'll tell you. But we leave it in his hands, and he knows best for us. Yes, Mary. Please do. Amen. Thank you, Mary. Of course, our prayers go out to her and to her family in this time of their grief over Leonard's passing. Well, God's on his throne. Jesus is in our hearts. We've got something to sing about.
Scripture reading? Do you have one?
We're going to have a scripture reading this morning. Who's going to read? Sam's going to read. All right.
Pastor?
Yes.
This is our last time you gave Naomi sing. This is her last week. Did she sing today?
I don't want to hear her sing. we'll take a vote on it and see. It's good to have Naomi with us this morning. Bless her heart. She needs our prayers. You know why? She's going to Florida. Many of you ever been to Florida? They've got alligators down there. They've got mosquitoes. They got bugs. Hurricanes. And they've got her grandkids and her daughter. Amen. That kind of balances it out, doesn't it? All right. Yeah, we're happy to have Naomi with us this morning. You going to read now?
Sure, we're going to read now. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Verse 9. After this manner, therefore pray ye. Let's pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we do come to you and we thank you, Lord Jesus, for giving us this model prayer. And Lord, we say your kingdom come. Lord, your kingdom come, your sovereignty over the nations of men, your sovereignty, of the Holy Land. Lord, your kingdom come, your millennial kingdom come, O Lord. And we pray, O Lord, for your sovereignty. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Lord, we pray for our brother Brown and his family going to Korea and your hand upon them. Your kingdom come, your will be done, O Lord, in our lives, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, morally, physically. And yes, Lord, thank you for providing for us. Thank you, Lord, in every way for your hand upon her. We pray for Miles, Lord, your hand upon him. We pray for the sick folk. We pray for this congregation. We pray for ourselves, Lord, as we commit us to you. And for your glory and praise, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Number 235.
235. King of my life, I crown. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary. Show me the tomb where thou wast laid, tenderly. Forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary. Let me, like Mary, through the gloom, come with a gift to thee. Show I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary. May I be willing, Lord, to bear daily my cross for thee. Thy cup of grief to share, thou hast borne all for me. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary.
Would you all rise? We'll have our offering. It's hymn number 179, 179.
I will sing of my Redeemer and his wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross he suffered, from the curse to set me free. Sing, oh sing of my Redeemer, with his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt, and made me free. I will tell the wondrous story, how my Lord across the state to say, in his boundless love and mercy, he the ransom freely gave. Sing, oh sing of my Redeemer, with his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt and made me free. I will praise my dear Redeemer, his triumphant power I'll tell, how the victory giveth over sin and death and hell. Sing, oh sing of my Redeemer, with his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt and made me free. I will sing of my Redeemer and his heavenly love to me. He from death to life hath brought me, Son of God, with him to be. Sing, oh sing of my Redeemer, with his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt and made me free.
Amen.
Amen.
And Lord, we thank you for them. We thank you for not only them, but the missionaries that we have been supporting all around the world. Father, if we were taking this off, we'd ask that you not only multiply here, but any and all mission fields that will come to us in the future. Father, we thank you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And Naomi, please, do you have a song for us? Thank you.
It's going to be so long, it's been good to know you.
This girl's been a blessing to us for many a year. We appreciate her, and particularly the music ministry that she has. And you probably have, Naomi, some of those CDs.
I don't have any with me. But there's a trio I used to sing with called Our Trio.
Yeah.
And I know we're kind of dispersing, but you know, we might come back and sing if we're asked.
Yeah. Amen.
Okay.
tonight we're going to have Brother Donnie Brown come up here now and bring us a morning message. We appreciate them being here today. And open your heart. Let God speak to you. The Lord willing, it's 6 o'clock this evening. I'll be in the pulpit here. We're going to be speaking about the judgment seat of Christ. Think you'll like it. Come out.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor, so much for having us again. If you weren't here for Sunday school class and you have any questions about our ministry, we're going to be at our table. We are missionaries to the U.S. soldiers in Korea. And I'll introduce my family one more time. I have my wife, Christy. She's in the back with my son, Brayson. And we have Micaiah. Hi, bud. And then Haley and Allison are my daughters. We are missionaries. There he is. We are missionaries to Korea. Please pray for us. We have prayer cards to give to you. You can come by and ask us any questions at our table. I have a question for you. You want to hear one more song? I'm not going to sing. But I figured my girls would play piano and sing for you. And they'd like to come up. I'm putting you on the spot. They don't know about this, so they're a little embarrassed. That's what dads do, right? Embarrass their kids and their wives. That's awesome. All right, girls, come on up and give us a song. You saw the looks they were giving me. Y'all did great, girls. Thank you so much. If you didn't notice, my daughter was playing without music. She taught herself how to play by ear. And that's a definitely, it's only talented by God, I can tell you that. But praise God for that. They both play by ear. They're both wonderful, wonderful, talented girls. And I thank the Lord for them. Open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians, if you could. 1 Corinthians. My question for you is this. Has this world ever made you feel like you were worthless? Have you ever felt despised? Like a fool for the Lord? Have you ever felt like, I just can't do anything right? You're humbled by people around you. If you feel that way, then you're in the right position that God can use you. And we're going to see that from today's scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's look at verse 22. For the Jews require a sign. Actually, let's go to 21. For after in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. The foolishness of preaching. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. And base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are. Here's the reason why. That no flesh should glory in his presence. Because of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That according as it is written, he that glorifieth, let him glory in the Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you that we can depend on it, stand on it, preach it, and speak it, Lord. Lord, I pray that you open our hearts and our minds today to realize that you can use each one of us in this room. Lord, you have a plan for each life, and your will is for that none perish, Lord. And help us to realize that. Help us just to open our hearts and just use this in our lives daily. In Jesus' name, amen. When God chooses the foolish, he makes them wise. You know, when I was stationed at Camp Casey, Korea, I told myself I'm never coming back to Korea. You got to bear with me. If I'm going to walk around, I'll speak a little bit louder. I was in Korea at Camp Casey, and I told myself, I yelled out loud, I am never coming back to this place. Well, God has a sense of humor. And God says, will you go for me? Many people are dying and going to hell there and never knew about Jesus Christ. Nobody's telling anybody there about Jesus Christ dying on the cross for them. And God has given us a challenge, given me a mission in my life to tell them about Jesus Christ, his son dying on the cross for them. But many people, if I come across them that I knew in the military, if I told them I'm going back to Korea, they'll tell you, are you a fool? That's foolish. Why would you go back to Korea? You even said yourself you never go back to this place. Why are you going? Well, the foolishness of this world is confounds the wise. They're like, why would that happen? Why would God use Donnie Brown and his family? Why would God use Pastor Wetzel here? For how many years? 30 years, 30, 35 years in the ministry? Why is God using him here? To this world, it's foolishness. But it confounds the wise. They don't understand that. A few examples of that would be Moses. The foolish. How about David? Look at David. David had confounded the wise because he was a young man. When the Israelites were at war and the Philistines were there, he was a young man, a teenager, doing his work. He was the only one in his family that was not there at war, at battle. And it said that the dad said, go take some lunch to your brothers. He's like, all right, I'm going to deliver some pizza. Go deliver some pizza to the boys. So he's bringing lunch to him, and all of a sudden, while he's there, this Goliath comes out. And Goliath's defying his God. And he tells Israel, do we not have a cause? Do we not have God on our side? God could take care of this giant. Let's just be faithful to him. So Saul said, okay, if you're going to go, wear my armor. He's like, I can't prove your armor. It's like me putting my armor on the smallest guy in here, the smallest teenager. So I haven't proven this. God's delivered a bear and a lion in my hands. He's going to do the same thing to that giant. And how do you take him out? Not by sword, not by gun, with a slingshot. Kill the giant. But this world, Israel, all the men were like, you're going to use this little boy, this little lad, not even a warrior, he hasn't fought one time on a fight. You're going to use him to kill this giant that's a warrior. It was foolishness in their eyes. They didn't understand it. But God used them. Foolishness. The foolishness of this world, God can use and make confound the wise. You know, God wants to use us if we're a fool for him. You know, people don't understand, why do you go to church on Wednesday nights? Why do you go to church on Sunday nights? Why do you attend a missions conference or a missions program? It's mind-boggling to them. They don't understand it. David was one that was a fool for the Lord. A fool. When God has chosen the foolish things, he confounds the wise. When he uses the weak things, he confounds the mighty. The weak things. We have to be careful when we come to the Word of God. This Word of God is not just filled with a bunch of stories. This is truth. This is history. This is his story. Jesus Christ's story. Everything around this Word of God is based around Jesus Christ. When we come to the Word of God, we can't just pick a story and go, oh, that's a cute story. Or that's a story that's just a story you would use for a nursery rhyme. Noah's Ark. When Noah was building that ark, there wasn't an ounce of rain that came at that time, before that time. God said, I'm going to judge this place by water. I'm going to flood this place by rain. And when he was building the ark, he commanded him exactly the way, the dimensions of this ark. He's building it. Can you imagine the people that came up to him? What are you doing up there? Are you building a condo? What are you building? He says, you need to get on this and be saved, or you're going to drown. Rain's coming. What's rain? I don't know, but it's coming. What's the rapture? I don't know, but it's coming. How about the judgments? It says there's going to be worse judgment than any time in history of this world. It's coming. Do you want your loved ones to be involved with that? Those that you know? Did you know each one of you have an influence in your life with somebody around you? Many people around you that nobody else here has an influence on. You know, we're creatures of habits. We like going to certain gas stations, certain places. If you like Walmart, I'll pray for you. Certain people just like certain places to go. You know, when you go to Walmart, you find that one register, that one lady that's nice to you, right? And you go through that one. You have an influence on somebody that nobody else in here has an influence on. Are you being a witness to that person? Let me ask you this. Are you being a right witness? The Bible talks about being a false witness. It's lying about who you are. When you go to a store, does people recognize your life while you're there and says, you know what, something's different about you? I'm going to brag on my family for a little bit, if you just bear with me. I used to work at Bank of America when I was when I was going to school at West Coast. I worked at Bank of America and security on the campus. So I was gone between school and work and the other second job. I was always gone. My wife would text me when she's doing things. And she texted me this one time and she said, I'm at this grocery store. It's a health food store. And she said, I'm talking to this guy that came to me and asked me, are these your kids? When somebody asks you that and you got kids, you want to ask why first before you claim that they're your kids. If they're bad, no, I don't know whose kids those are. You got to get them parents. If they're good, yes, they're my parents. They're my kids. Well, this guy comes up and he says, are these your kids? And she said, yes, sir. He says, I am a school teacher in Palmdale, and I've never seen kids act the way your kids act. What do you do? She says, I teach them from the Word of God. I teach them how to act as Christians. And the funny thing is this guy was dating a Christian lady, but she had no witness, no testimony in her life that proved who she was. My wife was able to lead that man to Christ that day in that grocery store because of the testimony of her kids. What kind of testimony are those that you're around every day? The gas station you go to, the grocery store you go to, the supermarket you go to. You're a witness to the Lord. But are you a vessel of honor or dishonor to him? You know, there's a message I preach. My wife doesn't like me telling about this message, but there's a message I preach to kids a lot. And it's about being a vessel of honor or dishonor. The title is, are you a crock pot or are you a chamber pot? Some of you know what a chamber pot is. A chamber pot is a glorified porta pot. Porta potty. You know, they both have a savor. They both have a smell about them. But one is honoring and one is dishonoring. Which are you? What kind of witness are you about those people that are you around? You don't have to go to Korea to be a witness. Just be a witness in your normal day activities. Carry tracks around. Carry tracks. And let me ask you something. If you died today, here's some great news. The best news you can ever have. It's about Jesus Christ dying on the cross for your sins. You have any questions? Here's my phone number. The best news. We have an opportunity to give it out to everybody we're around. You know what the best witness is? A consistent one. You're going back every time and they're like, you know what? You never change. I see you in the worst time of your worst time that you had. I see you in the best time. And you still have that sweet spirit about you. Why is that? Well, let me tell you why. It's because Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. And no matter what situation I am, He is my Lord. And I can depend on Him and trust Him in every situation. But this world is foolishness. It's weak. It's weak-minded. Just like Noah. He said, get on this ark or you're gonna die and go to hell. They didn't know what rain was. They didn't care what rain was. They didn't care what kind of judgments they're going to get. They didn't realize that there were enmities. There are enemies with God. It's up to us to tell them that, look, if you die without Jesus Christ, you're going to hell. Hell is a literal place. There was this chaplain that was in the military in World War II. And he was reassigned to a base. And we showed up. The soldiers asked him, do you believe in a literal hell? This chaplain said, no. Imagine that. They said, well, we want you to resign. He said, why should I resign? They told him, if there's no literal hell, what do we need you for? If there is a literal hell, we don't want you to lead us astray. Folks, our chaplains are failing our soldiers. Their hands are tied by what the army's telling them they can and cannot preach, who they can and cannot pray in. That's why we're reaching our soldiers, telling them about the true Jesus Christ and that's the only name you can pray in because it's the only name that can save you. But folks, we need to tell people about Jesus because there is a literal hell. But it's weakness in this world's eyes. How many of you know who Jesse Ventura is? We know most of him, right? Some of us are a little older in years, so we know he used to be a wrestler out there chewing that gum and being a worldwide wrestler. And he's a governor of Minnesota. He was an ex-governor of Minnesota. He said that organized religion is a sham and for weak people. Organized religion is a weak. Being a church is weakness. It shows that you're weak because you need to be in numbers. The world-renowned psychologist, his name escapes me from now. I'll come back to it. But anyway, I just want you to realize that this world is against us. This world thinks that what we do is weakness, it's foolishness. How about Caleb? Right, he was one of the good guys, right, of the 12 spies. That the 10 were bad and 2 were good, right? God called him to go to the land of Jerusalem and said, spy out the land. Tell me, bring back a report of the land. And the only two people that gave a good report was Joshua and Caleb. Well, Joshua got to lead the people after Moses died. He led them into battle. God told him, be a courageous and a good spirit. I'm your God. I will lead you and direct you. But he was like, I can't do this. How old was Caleb when he came to the promised land? He wasn't my age. He was 85 years old. I don't think there's one person in here 85. If you are, God bless you. But he was 85 years old. Folks, he didn't just walk into this land and go, okay, praise the Lord, I'm here. I'm ready to retire. No. He came to land. He's like, give me that mountain. I'm ready for that mountain. I want to take that mountain. Guess who was there? Goliath's cousins, giants. 85 years old, he took that land. Why? Not because he was a bad dude. He probably was. But because God was on his side. He gave God all the glory. Joshua, he was scared to death, but God said, I will do this. Because you have a humble heart, let me do this. He's asking for the same of you. He's not asking you to go conquer the world. He just wants you to be where you, he wants you to be true Christian, a true, the true Christian, the child of God you are, where you're at. But he wants you to serve, he wants you to serve him other places. In Acts 1:8, I was talking about that earlier. It says to go both into Judea, and Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. The only way you can do that is by supporting missionaries. You can do that. You can pray for them. I think, you know what the two most neglected parts of doctrine that we have that we don't use is prayer and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We ignore them the most. We think prayer is just something we go to and ask for Thanksgiving for our meal. And when we really, really need the Lord. Folks, without the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, we wouldn't have the next breath. We need to rely on prayer more. More now than ever before. So pray for us as we go to Korea. Pray for those hearts that are ready for us when we get there. That we can have the spirit of them of us coming there. Like, we were waiting for you to get here. Why? Where were you? Well, I had to raise support. We're praying that God has that those group of people ready for us to come there and ready to get involved with church and ministry. That only comes about by prayer, folks. But this world looks at it as foolishness and weakness. What about Moses? He told God, I can't do this, God. I can't lead your people. I have a speech impediment. I have a stage fright. I can't talk. I have something wrong. I can't talk. I stutter or whatever it is. That was foolishness to him. That was weakness to him. But God said, let me ask you something. Who made your mouth? Who created you? Let me ask you, folks, who created you? Who allowed you to have a next breath of life? Who put you through the situation you're in right now? Did you realize everybody's situation is God using you to prepare you for the next stage of your life? You may not know why I've heard y'all had a lot of deaths lately. And other ones suffering many, many issues. God has brought you through that for a specific reason. Because there may be another person down the road that's coming up that you know that you can say, you know what, I've been there where you're at. I know what you're going through because I've been through it. PTSD in the military. I can't go to somebody, a soldier, and say, I know what you're going through because I've never had PTSD myself. But I know a God that knows him. I know Jesus, there's a God that knows him better than he knows himself. And I can introduce him to that God. But folks, there's situations that we have in our life that we don't understand why we're going through when we're going through it. But God has a plan for your life. But this world's going to look at you as weak. This world's going to look at you as foolish. That's the only way we can serve God is by being foolish and weak. We've just seen that. Praise the Lord. Look at this next aspect. Verse 28. And base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen. The despised and the base. You know, this is the most, this, when you look at despised and despised and despised and base, it's the worst you can think of our culture. I was privileged to help this church plant that didn't continue. But when I first got here, there was a church that was planted in Oakland. And I was asked, can you come here and preach? And I'm thinking, Oakland, California? They got gangs there. I'm like, I need to wear pink so they know I'm peaceful. You know, I'm not going to wear red, blue, black, green. I don't wear anything. But I was like, yes, we'll come. And we came there was only about 3 people that showed up. And when right before I preached, this homeless person came in. And there's one of these where you come in and he just smells. He says, is there any donuts? She said, yes, there's donuts and coffee in the bag. He went back and got some and left. That's the base in despise, folks. God can use a base in despise. Why? Because they have nothing else in life. It says here in verse 26, but the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. You know why? Because they would say, look what I built. I created this. That's why he's not going to use the President of the United States. He's not going to use the King of England. He's not going to use somebody with high notoriety because they're going to say, look what I did. He wants to use somebody who says, I don't know how this happened. So God can say, yeah, I did this. God said, I used my servant that was willing to go when nobody else wanted to go. willing to go where nobody else wanted to go. If you ever speak to anybody, if anybody ever comes across you in the military and they've been to Camp Casey, Korea, ask them what it was like. I guarantee you they'll like, it was probably hell on earth to them. They hated every minute of it. But I would love for them to say, you know what, I didn't like it, but there was a church there. I got saved there. My relationship with my wife grew because of that church. I was called in the ministry because of that church. Not because we busted in ourselves, because God called us to go there. I'm praying God does a miraculous thing so I can sit there and say, God did this, not me. Because there were other ministries that came and tried to start here and nothing happened. We're praying for God to do a miracle there, to be a miracle for him there. But this world is going to call us foolish. It's going to call it weak. It's going to say, how can you use Donnie Brown? You know why? Because he can use the base and despised. You know, I don't like sharing this, but I have to share it. There's so many people that sit there and say, you've ever heard somebody say, well, if God can use me, he can use you. You heard that before? And then you're waiting for the punt, right? You're waiting for the how? And then they just stop and go on to something else. Well, I'm going to share with you why, if God can use me, he can use you. My dad was in the military. He was in the Army for 20 years. During that time, he served 3 years as a drill sergeant. Fun days in our house. During that time, I was a young teenager. My dad would take me out fishing. We'd get on a boat out in the middle of a lake somewhere, and he'd pull out a beer and give me a beer. As a young teen, like 13 years old, he'd tell me to drink the beer. I'm thinking, okay, I can say no, or my dad will probably drown me. Or I can say yes to save my life. So I was drinking beer with my dad when I was a young teenager. The kids at school were like, that's cool. And I'm like, no, it's not cool. I don't want a part of that. But that was almost the only time I had with my dad is when he had those times where he's drinking. I should be an alcoholic right now, folks. I should be in the gutter as one of those base and despised. I should not be here by the world standard. I have a friend of mine that I was my last couple years in high school. We went to school together. Good friend of mine, Horatio. He has three clubs in Atlanta right now. All he says, you just got to come down here. You can be co-owners. Folks, this world has given so much to offer. I was an RF engineer for Sprint, making great money. Over $50,000 a year, company car, company laptop, company phone. I had everything but a white picket fence. But what this world has to offer you doesn't fill that void in your heart. You cannot be content in this world. This world and God are our enemies. They're in enmity. They're at each other. He who gains the whole world, what is it worth if he loses his soul? So, folks, I should not be here. Based on everything in my life, I should not be doing what I'm doing right now. You may have some of that in your life. You may be hiding some of that. God sees it, though. He knows where you're at. But the base and despised, those that I was raised with should be sitting there saying, God can't use him. I remember him when he was in school. He used to drink with his dad. How can God use him? Because I'm humble. I can't do it without God. I don't know how God's using me either, to be honest with you. But he is. He is. He's using my family. And we're just praying God keeps on using us. But to this world is weak. To this world is foolishness. Two characters in the Bible, two real people in the Bible about the base and despised. How about the woman at the well? You know what's awesome about these two people I'm about to tell you? We don't know their name. We can't say, oh yeah, it's Donnie Brown. We could put a name to it by somebody we know today. But the woman at the well, when did she come to the well? At the hottest time of the day. Why? She didn't want to be seen. She was the laughingstock of the town. Oh, you know her. She's been with five guys. The guy she's with now is not even her husband. She probably has 15 kids somewhere. All kids from different men. And you know what? Before that, Jesus said, I must needs go through Samaria. Samaria, guys, folks, it's the worst tension relationship you can have, the worst prejudicial relationship you can have. Can you imagine the disciples? Hey, we're going to Samaria. No, they're like, Samaria, really? That's like me going to the Bronx. Really? We're going to go to the Bronx? Yeah. Okay. So they get to this well, and all the disciples say, okay, let's go get some food. You realize not one disciple stayed with Jesus? Not even the disciple that loved Jesus. They all left to go get food. left Jesus there by himself. And a woman comes to the well, and he's asked her to give him some water. And she knows he's a Jew. Imagine a Jew talking to a Samaritan woman. That's double whammy. How are you? Why are you talking to me? I'm a woman, plus I'm a Samaritan. God says, I can have water you'll never thirst again. And she realizes finally she's talking to the Messiah, and she's accepted Jesus Christ. She says, I believe you. And guess what she does? Gets her water and keeps on going. No, folks, she left her water pot there and went to go get the rest of the town. A revival broke out. You know why? Because she met Jesus Christ. She met the Messiah. Do we see the same Jesus that she saw? Do we get excited the same way she does? She told everybody. She came to the guys, let me tell you what he told me about you. And the town was like, well, we don't believe you, but we're going to come see what you said anyway. And they come see Jesus. And revival breaks out. Why? Because of a base and despised woman got a hold of Jesus and went and told everybody else about Jesus. A base and despised woman. How about the maniac at the Gara? Again, another no-namer. We have no idea who this guy is. But everybody knows about the maniac. Don't go by the tombs. He's out there naked, screaming, cutting himself up. I'm sure y'all know some of those people around here. Maybe he's a drunkard. High on dope. Out there causing trouble. We know those are demons. You know that, right? Alcoholism, drugs, all that stuff. That's all demons. So Jesus comes along and he sees him. He finds out there's a legion of demons in this guy. A legion. That means many, 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 many demons in this guy. Let me say something. Do you realize how gracious and how merciful our God is? How Jesus is? Jesus comes across these demons, and the demons beg Jesus, don't put us in the abyss. I don't know what the abyss is, but I don't want to know what the abyss is. If the demons are scared of it, I'm scared of it. The demons said, don't put us in the abyss. Put us in the swamp. Jesus had every right to tell them, you know what? No, you're going in the swamp. You're going in the abyss. You deserve hell. Jesus had every right to do that. But he had mercy on the devils. He said, yes, you can go in the swamp. Folks, if our Jesus cares that much and has that much mercy on the devils, on the demons, how much more is he going to have on his children? Those that he died for. He gave his life for, his blood for. If you're worried about how God's going to provide for you, don't worry about that. The Bible tells us that, you know, how can we be a wicked man, give a stone or give something to our kids? We won't do that. If our kids ask for food, we're going to give them bread. We're not going to give them a stone. We're going to give them a piece of fish. We're not going to give them a scorpion. But how, us being as wicked as we are, when we give goodness to our kids, how much more is our Heavenly Father going to give to us? He will supply every need, folks. Every need. And it's just at the nick of time. It's not the time that we expect it to be. It's not the time that we want it to be. Right? Every time he gives it right at the moment. We don't know what's around the next turn, the next corner. He does. And he always provides. But folks, we're just like the Israelites. We forget so soon. Amen. We forget so soon what God has done for us. We're on a ball bag wagon again. Woe is me. I can't believe this happened. We forgot the blessing we just got from Jesus Christ, from our Lord and Savior. Praise the Lord, we have eternal security. All the stuff with Ebola going around, all the stuff with all these this virus, you know what it's called, everybody's out of scare. We should be like a beacon to them going, why aren't you scared?
Amen.
Why? The Viking Ebola died, I'm with the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. That's why I'm not scared. Why aren't you scared? Well, let me tell you why I'm not scared. I have hope in Jesus Christ. Do you? Because we have nothing to fear. The Bible says fear itself is sin. We can't be fearful. We have the Lord. But it also says if you don't do right, don't do it. It's sin to you.
Amen.
So who? Let me ask you this. Who this week have you withheld the gospel to? The person at the counter? At the grocery store? At the gas station? Your neighbor? How about your family? Your son, your grandkids, your great-grandkids? Your uncle, your dad, your mom? My mother-in-law is not saved.
She is a diehard Catholic. We've been working on her. We've been praying for her.
Amen.
Some things don't come about praying and fasting, right? When's the last time you prayed for somebody? When's the last time you fasted for somebody? I'm convicted right now, folks, it's not just you, it's me. But we need to realize that people need Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You ever wonder why when you got saved, Jesus didn't just take you up to heaven? Go work. I wish that happened. We have a job to do here, folks.
Right.
To this world, it's foolish. To this world, it's weakness. To this world, you might be facing the spies because you chose Jesus Christ. You know, some countries, most countries right now that are not in the United States, this is coming here. Most countries right now, you accept Jesus Christ, you're banned from your family. They disown you. You're just paid, you're despised. You're based, you're despised from that family, from that world. But don't worry. If your family treated you bad because you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, don't worry about that. You pray for them. You be kind to them. You show them Jesus Christ in your family. You show them Jesus Christ for you and your kids. The horrible thing is we can't make people get saved. Think about it. Jesus failed. Many people in his own town denied him. If they denied him, they may deny you. But don't worry about that. Jesus Christ just wants you to go out and just spread his word. Just give it to everybody. And live with it. Over and over and over again. You know it takes 7 times. Lancaster Baptist Church, they're a great soul winning church. They go out soul winning every week. And they pick them up and they go back and they hit these areas over and over and over again. Did you know it takes at least 7 times for to be contacted by a church before they even actually come to hear the gospel? Either tracking up at their door, invitation at a whatever event. 7 times before somebody can sit there and say, I'll come to church. Does somebody know about your church here? Do these people in this area know about your church? I hope so. I hope that they can say, you know what, I'm having a tragedy right now. I need help. And they open the drawer and they see a bunch of tracks and say, you know what, we're going to go to this church. Well, I remember that guy coming to my wherever I work at. I met him at a gas station. I met him wherever. He told me about his church. I need help. Folks, it's going to get worse and worse in this country.
That's right.
And they need to know where they can come to get the truth. And you have the truth here. You have the word of God here. Just don't be ashamed to use it.
Because the Bible tells us if we're ashamed to proclaim Him, He's gonna be ashamed to proclaim us to Jesus, right? If you're ashamed of Jesus Christ, folks, we have nothing to be ashamed of. Over and over again, He's proved Himself to us. Let's trust Him. Who cares if they call us foolish? Who cares if this world calls us weak or base and despised? Because in the end, we're gonna honor and glorify Him either way. It's like that. Remember that vessel of honor or dishonor? You remember Samson, right? He was a vessel of dishonor, but look what he did. Let's be a vessel of honor. Let's have the right witness. Let's do the work of the Lord, even though they call us foolish and weak. Even though they call you base and despised. Why? That no flesh should glory in his presence. That no flesh should glory in his presence. It's awesome when God answers a prayer, and you can sit there and go, you know what? God answered a prayer for me. My dad was an alcoholic. When we prayed for my dad for years. One Easter, he woke up, and my dad said, if you ever met an alcoholic, they said they'll quit. I'll quit the next time. I'll quit after I drink all this weekend. And they go out and buy more afterwards. My dad on Easter Sunday poured all of his liquor out. He's never done that. He's always said he's one of those next time guys. Next time. We prayed for him for about 7 years. My dad said he went to covers and took all his liquor out and poured it out. All of it. All the hidden ones, everything. I think that's going to last about a month. You know, you've seen it over and over again. The promises. But that's going to last about a month. My dad quit cold turkey and never went back. Praise the Lord. Praise God. There was a time when my dad was younger. My nephew, he would tell my nephew, go get me a beer. My nephew is like 4 or 5. When my oldest daughter was born, I told my dad, my daughter will never bring you a beer. She won't. She's not going to condone this. I'm not going to condone this. And those type of situations, I believe God used to bring to him and say, you know what? It's not worth losing my family over. And God sustained my dad. And I praise God for that. But folks, you got to realize that this world is going to look at you as foolish. Your friends, your old friends are going to look at you as foolish. Why aren't you hanging around anymore? Why aren't you doing the things you do anymore? Your family may despise you, and you may be based on them. They may just cast you out as any family member. But now, you know what? You're adopted into a different family now. But folks, I challenge you. It doesn't matter what the age you are in here, how young, how old. God can use every one of you. Are you allowing him to use you? Do you have that humble heart? I beg you today that if you ever felt like God can't use me anymore because I'm just too proud. I don't have that humble heart. I don't like that person that I go to the store and this person's always bugging me. Ask for forgiveness. Come to this altar, ask God to forgive you, and get back on the horse and say, God, use me. I want to be used you. I want to be a fool for you. I want to be weak for you. Let me be abased and despised for you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this word. Thank you so much for loving us and dying for our sins, Lord. Lord, I pray that our hearts are open to your word and that we can realize, Lord, that you can use us, Lord, if we allow you to. Lord, if there's anybody in here who does not know you as their Savior, they have to get that settled first. We have to get that settled first. It says here, but in him are ye in Christ Jesus. We need to realize, Lord, that we need you as our Savior, Lord. And it's as simple as a child can do it. Anybody can accept you. They just have to be willing to do that, Lord. And those that have accepted you as their Savior, those that are your child of God, Lord, I pray that they realize, Lord, that this world's going to look at them as foolish and weak, base and despised, Lord. But help us to realize that if we want to be used by you, the world has to see us that way. Lord, I just pray that our hearts are tender to you and our minds are tender to you, and that we can realize, Lord, that you can use us even today. Even today, we can go out and tell somebody about you dying on a cross for them, Lord. And we have to humble ourselves to do that, Lord. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for dying for us. Thank you for being our Savior, our guide, our director, our just our Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
You all rise up, we'll sing number 484.
Thank you. You've been a wonderful congregation today, and we have certainly appreciated the message, testimony of Brother Brown. Appreciate his family being here with us today, too. As we're dismissed in prayer, don't be in too big a hurry to leave. Spend some time with them out there in the vestibule, will you? As we're dismissed, Brother Raul, would you lead us, please, in our prayer? Amen.